you know, is this meeting. Had the convention. I think it's been a very successful convention, and I believe that I had blessings, and they can look back at it and say, you know, put their finger on a specific part of the convention, though, with this especially a special blessing to them. And but the other thing that sometimes we forget about is we should always have an anticipation for the convention. For every convention that we have an anticipation. We should have something that we want to specifically get out of the convention when we go into it. And then when the convention's over, look back and see if that was if that was fulfilled. So, you know, some of the things that we look forward to are to see our dear brethren, especially when we don't have the opportunity to see them as often as we'd like. We want to learn more of the truth and get a deeper understanding of our Heavenly Father's plans. And we want to get out of the world. And we want to get away from the troubles of our life. And it's really an oasis for us to come together into these conventions. And you know what a wonderful, blessed time that is. And, you know, we want to savor it. So, you know, we would like to open it up to individual comments about, you know, what you got out of the convention. This isn't a testimony in the way of a traditional testimony where we're sharing our trials and our temptations and our blessings throughout the week or whatever, but it's more focused directly on the convention itself. And, you know, if your anticipations were made, if there's something maybe we would like to see or do better for the next convention and anticipating those, you know, if there's some specific lesson that you drew from the convention that was, you know, especially close to your minds and hearts, or, you know, one particular experience. Sometimes those experiences aren't in this room. The convention's not this room, you know. We had a wonderful convention at our house last night. And the traveling to and from, and this wonderful fellowship that's entailed in all of that. So I'm going to open it up to you, brethren. It's really your meeting. So, who'd like to share with us? Sister Linda.
Can I just sit here?
Yes, we're not going to move our mics around. So.
Everybody, just so you know, when you do speak, if you kind of look at the mic, so it'll pick up and just speak from where you are.
Well, I would like to first say for the last 2 days, this has been one power-packed little convention. I mean, really. There has been a lot of spiritual food from our two brethren here, that what they have provided, and I think I am coming away with more things that I can look back upon now. Brother George's talk about guilt and you know, our conscious, it being a warning system for us. Our talk that Brother Edgar just gave, you know, about the Holy Spirit. Just so many things that I can look myself at, I can use. And I think there's a lot to take away from this for me. And just the pleasure of being with everyone here. We just don't get a chance to do this very often. And it's very special. It really is. I wish we could do it more often. But, so... Power packed is my word. Thanks.
I shouldn't have put the grease board away. I'd like to keep a tab on those. Maybe somebody could write them down. Brother Kevin?
Yes, Brother James, and I believe it's DeGroote. He says James DG on there. Says almost every word spoken at this convention has seemed to be just for him, for his admonition, and he's truly appreciated it. I wanted to share that with you.
Very nice.
Yeah, and those dear brethren that are online, I wish we could see their faces.
Yeah.
So they were able to see ours. Kevin was broadcasting video one direction, and it's nice to know that those brethren are there. It expands our convention. You know, we really had, I think, at one time I counted 40, and there was at least probably 15 online, so that's 55 brethren at our convention. So our convention actually grew. I figured it would be a lot smaller this year. Sister Virginia?
I think Linda can bear witness that all the way home last night, I said, it's been a long time since I've been to a convention. That was the blessing that yesterday was. Now, I didn't sleep last night, so today, you know, that's good for me. We all know convention depends on a lot of things. It depends on our attitude when we go. It depends on if we've asked the Heavenly Father that we want to be a blessing, we want to receive a blessing. I think we need to prepare ourselves for conventions. And I think when we do, then we really receive a blessing. The other thing I appreciate about the convention was it was a good mix of different things. It exercised your minds in many, many directions. And I always appreciate that. We had doctrine, we had character, we had admonitions. We had all those things. Lots of admonitions. We have a lot to take home, and I always appreciate that. I was very glad to be here.
We were so thankful that you were able to stay. Because I think you were, weren't you going to try to leave a week ago or something? And you stretched it out to make the convention. So I'm happy that you were able to be here. We're going to miss you. Sister Linda is leaving on Friday. I mean, Sister Virginia.
Thank you.
And she's been a delight. She's always been such a addition to our class that we miss her when she goes back. We'll look forward to hopefully next summer.
I'm going to come from a different direction of what I experienced today by a remark. When I said goodbye to Brother Tabak and Sister Florence and thanked them for their service and their talks and all that. And Sister Florence said that it's too bad it took us so long to come. Now, we know the Lord's in charge of everything in our life, and we know the timing and everything. I'm going to say what I received and felt, it was a wonderful convention. Absolutely. And I want to thank Colorado Bible students and all that for all the work they did for putting on such a superb convention and all the speakers. It was fantastic. But it's like it's timely for where we are in the stream of time to have the talks that we had because they were very meaningful, very blessed. I learned a lot. It was fantastic, and it's kind of unusual that, you know, they felt so bad, but you know, the Lord could have moved you brethren sooner to ask Brother Tabak to come. I think the Lord wanted it this time. I just want to say that. I want to thank you all for it, because it was a wonderful convention.
Sister Levon, Sister Debbie?
LaPlace, correct me, you know, that includes Wyoming and... Where's Wyoming?
They must be
over by Mars.
Wyoming. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we did invite Brother Tabak and Sister Florence out 9/11.
Oh, really?
And Brother Migas was to be here, and Brother Tabak.
Yeah.
Am I right on that?
Yep.
And because of 9/11, Brother Tabak was not allowed to come out to that convention because they couldn't get on a plane.
Wasn't Brother Rick Cunningham in that group too?
Yes. Yeah. And so it was interesting because that made, if I'm correct on that, because that's what my memory is telling me, when Brother Tabak was speaking yesterday and his PowerPoint of showing 9/11, mm-hmm. and discussing that, and I thought, well, that's when he was supposed to be here last time, was 9/11.
But he wasn't able to come.
No, because they couldn't get on the airplane. He and Brother Miguez, am I right?
I think my memory is not.
Because I remember Brother Miguez and Brother Tabak trying to figure out, and Brother Tabak said no quite earlier than Brother Miguez, who kept trying. In fact, Brother Miguez went to the airport and was not able to get here. But it's interesting because look what's happened since the last time we attempted to get Brother Tabak out here and how our world has progressed to getting us to the end. And that, I think, dovetails with the thought of the timeliness of that many of us feel from the messages that Brother Edgar and Brother George brought with them. Very, very timely for us.
Yeah, and it's a interesting looking back over the years at the different conventions, seeing what has transpired in the world. A lot of times it's kind of like a New Year's Eve where you reflect back on the last year.
It is a Jewish New Year.
Oh, well then that works.
You know, God recognizes September and April.
Sister Ruth.
I want to thank Sister Lena. Yeah. Sister Lena essentially pulled all of this together by herself. And I want to thank her because it's been a very nice convention. I want to thank Brother Buckley for coming again. It's so good to see Mr. Sunshine, Brother Sunshine. I don't know what's going on within him, but he's always a ray of sunshine. And he, and I, as for Variety, I was just looking back over our last two. The Voice of Conscience, and you're in the Army now. There was quite a bit of Variety just between those two today. And I did enjoy all of the talks very much and enjoyed both Brother Tabak and Brother Buckley. And they've been with us many times, but I'm one of these, enjoy while you can because one never knows. And for all of us, you know, we need to enjoy now. And I have enjoyed it very much.
Brother Jim, and then I won't say anything else. to add to that, Brother Kevin, I so much appreciate
Oh, yes, Brother Kevin,
put together. And I'm not sure how many hours he has spent, but I think it's significant to make sure that this was shared and memorialized, particularly that Brother Tabak was very, came up to me and was very, very appreciative that Brother Kevin might take hereby knowing that thou art God, and make that into a professional presentation. And so I think that's very, very special, because now Brother Tabak went back with a blessing to have that made professional. And I don't know how many hours that's going to take, Kevin, but I'm glad he took that upon himself.
I want a copy.
No refund.
Yeah.
If you call,
By the way, one of those, we're gonna put a little pressure on Kevin.
Yeah. I will reverse pressure real quick. Yeah, I use the computer. There's two ways to go. You can either go to the website, and I'll have information about it, and you can find out about that later, or else Spline Time, SPLINETIME, @comcast.net, the email. And it's one of my technical ones, that's why there's a strange name attached to it. But if you write me via that, I can give you information as well when something's happened.
Okay.
And you can ask
people to spell that in
the new logo.
Blind, S-P-L-I-N.
Blind.
I'm also doing this for people on CUC.
Okay.
I don't want to look at that.
Okay.
Spline, like the mathematical thing.
Who would know that?
Me and Brother Tadak. Time. T-I-M-E, one word.
C what?
At gmail.com.
Okay.
All right. Yes. Was that for me?
Debbie, you don't get any more chances.
I have to throw this out for the class. And those, a prayer, too. Brother Tabak challenged us to work with Bill on doing something with the urgency with which he feels he must share the two chances, the two salvations. That's what he means when he says two chances, with others. And those of you who did not get to meet with him much, he believes that God is calling him to meet with ministers and to share with them the good news, and that they're going to listen to him, and they're going to then let him come into their church and teach them all this wonderful stuff about two salvations, because they don't know this, but if they knew it, of course they would love it and share it and embrace it. So Brother Tabak challenged us to work with Bill, because Bill's very interested for this cause. Jim and I gave him for this cause, and he loved it. And so he suggested that Bill says he might want to use that for this cause and put on a presentation at libraries, because that's what he's been doing. He advertises seminars, you've got to come hear the good news, and he has made contact with a number of ministers in the community as well as in other states. And so we would ask an interest in your prayer, and then our classmates to see if we would get involved, or as individuals we would get involved with Bill to try to help bring him closer to the truth and his zeal to serve the Lord, if we could help him guide that in a little way. So I'd ask an interest in your prayers that we as a class need to think about that, or as individuals we can work with Bill. And his past profession was in marketing. So Brother Tabak asked him to look at his website and get back to him with how he thought those might be improved, or so that they would be more valuable to the public. So kind of an interesting side note of what was happening in our convention underneath. And Dan has been very faithful to meet and talk with him a couple of times a week. So there's a connection going with this person.
Jim, I would like to say something. I appreciate so much for having the Father to be part of the convention. And my family, they would like to be here, but it's unusual, a thing happened one after another, but they, yesterday I condensed the greeting and the prayer study, and they appreciate so much, and it has been a long time since convention from one to another, and I miss you all so very much and appreciate it. But I always remember you, each of us around, and those who I even don't know, but I pray for all of you that that we are the faith is strong. Whatever Lord permitted, we will be grateful, not mourn, not complain, whatever Lord and I try to be faithful since I was out to 20 years. I had it, now I am 60, so that has been a long time. But when I found the Lord and the truth, that's my life. And I love you so much, and I always will. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for all your love and all your support and prayers. And, but I always do. You ask me for that or not, but I do that, you know, because I
because I love you all so much. And God bless you all. And I appreciate all of this organized, so nice. Everything was just perfect. And I appreciate all this service, the sister, you know, that she is. Karupa, you know, she's here, there, she knows everything. I'm very blessed. I received those presentation and talks were just wonderful. Thank you so much, Paul.
Well, I only want to add to this because she was speaking like my ambassador, you know, in my name, that the convention was very inspiring, and I enjoyed all the presentation of topics very much, and I learned some things that I overlooked before, or I didn't know, and so the convention was very nice organized, and we thank you for hospitality and service, and everybody who was involved in that personally, we appreciate it. We thank you.
Thank you, Brother Evans and Sister Stefania. Our heart rejoices on every remembrance of you and longs for the fellowship when you're not here. And we sure wish that we could also have more time together. And our hearts also go out to you and your family with your hardships. And there are a lot of hardships amongst the brethren right now. But we understand that the Lord is operating upon all of us and our families. And it's a joy to know that and just to know that He's there and that all things are working together to your good. We just rejoice in that.
I think I should share with you all that I bought the flowers. Lena bought them, and I bought them from her. And I'm going to send both bouquets home with John and Stephanie so that they can give one to Eugene and one to Boda. I'm sure you'll all agree with that.
Yeah.
From the school. And it's going to be from the Colorado Students Convention. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd be so happy. I'd be surprised.
Who else? Mr. Patty.
I think I need to lift my voice in gratitude and thanksgiving for being able to attend at this time. I needed the strength that I needed, and I received it here. And I'm sorry that I'm so emotional, but I'll get over it as time goes by. I've had a strenuous year, not knowing exactly what was expected of me. And I continue to pray that I will be faithful and to put all these things I've learned these last couple of days into practice and to move on ahead and to look forward and rejoice always, as I try to tell everybody when they ask me how I am feeling. Instead of saying I'm fine, I keep telling them I'm rejoicing. And I try to put a smile on my face and keep my head high so that I can set an example there for I'm staying, because I'm meeting with a lot of worldly people. And I have to learn to balance my time between the worldly things and the world and the wonderful things of the truth. And I'm so grateful that I have the Polycom for study, 4 studies a week, that keeps me on schedule. And And I pray that we all may be faithful and that we continue to walk and practice our things that we learned. And I'm grateful that I was able to be here and hear the talk on guilt and get past that, because I've been held down with all the things that have been happening in the past of my life. And I have to let go of all that so I can move on. And I trust with the Lord's help I will recover and remain safe in life. Thanks to you all for the help that you've had and the prayers that have carried me through this past year. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Patty, and hearts and minds have been with you. And it's hard to fathom some of the difficulties that we need to face from time to time. And losing your husband and moving to a new location and farther away from us, by the way. But we are so thrilled that you made it to the convention.
Well, I literally had to force myself to say, well, I'm going to do it. And I went. And it worked out very nicely. Thank you.
Your Lord overruled.
Oh, that's for sure.
I'm sure the Lord has something in store for you there. That
yeah, I need it.
And I imagine that the people that the people that live with you, it's a real blessing for them to have you there. And I'm sure that some of the truth is going to be propagated. I have no doubt in my mind about that.
Well, anytime anybody comes my way, be sure and stop.
Will do.
I'm right close to the Highway 40 that goes through Craig. A couple of blocks off the street.
Okay. Brother Gene.
I just want to say that one of the highlights of this convention for me was and I'll put it this way, picture is worth a thousand words. When I seen this picture of the Hubble telescope, you know, and the universe and all of that, it put in perspective to me the awesome power of God. I mean, this thing really made a deep dent in my mind, you know, so to speak. And I just wanted to say that. I don't know how the rest of you folks seen it, but boy, that really made an impression on me, the power of the Almighty God, you know. And this is probably just part of it, you know, which it is.
You can see so many more pictures on the internet of things that they've taken from the Hubble telescope scope that will absolutely blow your mind away.
I mean, it's just, like I say, this is just part of the picture of God, but boy, that sure hit me.
And what hit me was when he likened that picture to the grain of sand.
Yeah.
Hold that grain of sand up there. And that picture was just that little teeny speck in the galaxy of the universe. Yeah. You know, there's the 360 degrees all around you.
Yeah.
And what's more incredible than that, though, is he is creating a new creation.
Yeah.
And he says that that new creation is more precious to him
than all of that.
Than all of that.
Yeah. Wow. It's awesome. That's all I can say.
Mr. Kaylee.
It had to be, because if he gave up his son for it, that's the key to tell you how much bit more important it is. That's where, you know, we can feel. I mean, he gave up his son to die for it.
That's the love of God.
Jim, you want one?
You want to join the
Hubble? That's the box.
Brother Sharp.
A couple of things for me is... one is the migrating bird that Yeah. You know, show that there's got to be a God. And see the other ones. I have never heard about the Christians being Islam's person.
Yeah.
Islam's in holy, or I guess Armageddon. And then two things stuck out pretty good to me. I've heard more about it, and I probably will. But, those things stuck out. That bird got me pretty good. That's a good way to tell someone that there's a God. Since I know some people that don't think there is one.
Yeah, it's incredible to think that there are people that can't see.
Yeah.
Or,
right.
It's like,
how do they know?
The evolutionists and whatnot. I mean, what?
How?
How they ever come up with evolution? People, and that many people believe it, it blows your mind.
It shows you how far away that mankind's fallen from the earth. Dean and then Kevin.
Oh, it goes back to that, which brother was it, that everything that I see teaches me.
That was right like that, it was in that.
All I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator.
I have to have that, because that is exactly it. I mean, anytime you talk to somebody who's not sure there is a God, and I say that to them, how can you look at this world and everything around it and say that there isn't one, because doesn't that teach you that there is? That's it in a nutshell.
That was Emerson. Yeah,
Emerson. Is that Emerson?
Really? Okay.
Oh, I thought that was a scripture in Psalms.
It ought to be.
Brother Kevin?
Yes, I just wanted to share my appreciation for all of you and your presence. It's been a great blessing to me. And what's just been spoken of has always been near and dear to my heart, because I first came into even looking at the truth. Volumes were laying around for many years. Mom had been the truth, but hadn't really considered looking at anything that tried to explain God or open up Scripture until I looked at the logic of it, tried to contemplate infinity, realistically know what's outside, and you can't do it. But in the example just being given, I was thinking about what a silly, I grin when I think of it, arrogance on man's part. No, there's no God and there's no Creator. While he's out in the workshop, carefully measuring and cutting the boards he's building the remodel for his house with. I mean, you look around us everywhere. Animals build nests. Everything builds. Nature builds. It spews volcanic ash and it builds. Or you leave your house and you lock it up and you go away and don't tend to it and it falls apart. So all around in God's, in the immediacy, I know in his total creation, we see his wondrous power, but to the average man in this day and age, the modern times, everything we have says there's a Creator, whether it's the telephone company making cell phone service or whatever, and then we just stop when we get past that point of both the earth. Why are we still here? We shouldn't be here. All the bad things we've built and done, we should have destroyed ourselves if there was no God.
Yeah, even last week, too.
Yeah. And so I take great comfort in when I hear mentions of this, because, you know, I think of that with when you go, oh, are people ever really going to get it? Yes. You can see foundations rocking. I appreciate the financial stuff. Hearing our government saying they're going to do the same thing I would get admonished for. That's foolish. You're going to do that? Put money, you know, good after bad? And it tells me, okay, the insanity that 2 years ago I was at, probably not that. It's happening.
Yeah.
So over and over and over, I see his witness in daily events, news events, and everything you can see, the ground you're walking on. And so I appreciate the fact that Brother Tabak always brings out beautifully. That was very special to me. And also being able to share time, and I have to admit, I was selfish. I mean, I was with other brethren the whole time I was here, because all of those on CUCME, they were sharing their enjoyment, and they had thoughts, and of course, transcriptions. I was able to quit taking notes and was able to pay more attention because we had people transcribing what was going on. So, great main blessings, and I really appreciate being here with all of you.
Thank you, Brother Kevin, and thank you for that service. It's I'm sure we're able to share the blessing with others that couldn't come otherwise. So, that's a wonderful thing. Go ahead.
My apologies, there's a testimony here from online.
Oh, okay.
Brother Ron, old Ron,
oh.
As we all know him, he's been attending quite a bit of this. And he said, it was mentioned that the brethren at convention would like to see us online. You don't want to see some of us online. I'm still in my nightgown. The convention was a special blessing. Thank you all. 1 Samuel 2:8. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. Brother Ron.
Oh, amen, Brother Ron.
Thanks, Brother Ron.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Ron. Sister Lena, I think I saw your hand up.
Yeah. I need to deflect some of the kudos, as Brother Tom called it.
Could do.
You know, if you've never heard that word, that's what it looks like. And, as my local brethren will know, I have barely been here this year, and it was by the Lord's providence that we found Red Lion last year, and were able to come back this year, which made my job extremely easy. So I really did not put in as much work as people think I did. But I'm glad that everybody enjoyed it. And I've been very humbled. This year I'm the treasurer, and it's the first time that I've been privy to what's in the collection box. And the brethren have been so generous. I really am quite humbled. And obviously we could not have such comfortable accommodation were it not for that generosity. So thank you all. And also thank you, because if it weren't for you, we wouldn't even be here. So that's a blessing to me. Brother George, being family, I think was a big reason that my mom was able to get out this weekend. So I'm very thankful for that. She can talk herself out of things, because it's a challenge to get up and out and sit for as long as she sat, even these last 2 days. And so that was wonderful. And Brother George and Florence stayed with me, which was another huge blessing. And I've been looking forward to the end of convention, because I have been so busy, and now I'm going to stop being busy for a while. But because I had Brother George staying at home, and one thing led to another in conversation, and he learned that I had been the editor of the Deep Waters book that our dear brother Carl had published. So I have a new assignment. And especially since he gave the guilt discourse, I'm really stuck.
What's the project?
Our dear brother Carl, you know, always the thinker and the visionary, felt that it was time for the first volume to be translated into modern language and syntax. You know, instead of sentences that are a paragraph long.
Whoa, that's a
and words that are outdated.
Words that are outdated and just thought processes that are a little dated.
No.
George Tabak. George thinks that Carl translated or transcribed, however you want to, paraphrased, I guess, is what really would be a paraphrase, the first chapter of Volume 1. He's not sure where that is. He thinks maybe Rhoda Riva? That's her name. Might have it. Anyway, he would like to see maybe a committee formed to everybody take one chapter. He said if one person tried to do the whole first volume, the kingdom would already be here by the time it's done. So at any rate,
ask an interest in your prayers, not for me necessarily, but for his vision, and to see that we can maybe get that accomplished. And also interested in feedback about how people would feel about that, because he'd been, you know, there'd been a little reluctance because, you know, it's Brother Russell, and, you know, we can't touch the truth. And there's something to that, but there's also something to wanting to reach people that would be turned off by how the first volume reads right now. So, not to change it, but to make it more accessible.
Yes.
I thought that Paul Melly already partially did that. I know that he re-illustrated.
No, he just illustrated it.
Yeah, I think he did.
He's the same text as illustrated.
Yeah, okay. Wow, that would be wonderful. I'd read it.
Well, you're right. If I could
retire, and like Brother George said about his spelling, my spelling is even worse by a long shot. And my grammar's 100 times worse.
I'd like
to be back.
John, did you have your hand up?
Sister Alvina had her hand up.
I just was going to add a thought, though I agree and say amen to all, everything that everyone said without repeating what everyone has said. But I did want to say, after talking about Brother Tabak and this awesome thing about the universe, I thought of the scripture, only a fool will say in his heart there is no God, after seeing something what Brother Tabak showed.
There was a time, you know, when approached by those that were evolutionists or atheists, that was somewhat threatening to me. Mm-hmm. But with that thought in mind, mm-hmm. you just say, you know, without judging them personally, it's just, you know, it shouldn't be a threat to you anymore. Mm-hmm. To just say, you know, these poor people are just feel sorry for them.
Yeah, because we just get a glimpse of it beyond our comprehension, but we just know it's awesome. Just beyond.
Can I have a second chance?
Please.
First of all, I'd like to commend you for having a Vesper service, and I hope you keep on doing it. I beg to have one in my class down home, and I don't very often went out. I think it's such a wonderful thing to have at the end of the day when you're tired and your mind's already trying to collect everything you've heard through the day. And Brother George I heard him back east, so I knew what he'd be doing. And his Vesper services are especially good. And I sometimes you don't have anybody come that really feels qualified to do a Vesper service. I know that happens too. But if you can keep on doing that, why? And the other thing I'd like to see you do is advertise your convention. I go home and I say to people, I went to the Denver convention, and they say, Denver convention? Denver has a convention? I didn't even know there was a convention. Yeah. I'd like to see you advertise it far and wide.
I thought you did.
It was in the Bible student newsletter, but it probably, and it was on
it was
Old Brother Ron. A lot of people don't get
Old Brother Ron. Okay. I don't know why.
But we did give up them mailing them out. You know, we used to have a mailing list where we had a list of all the ecclesias and we'd mail them three or four programs. And my mailing list kind of went by way of the dinosaur. That's one of the, you know, it's kind of hard to keep track of each ecclesia, but then you have to make a special mailing for that.
You just forget that
everybody doesn't use the technology.
Yeah.
And we got to remember that.
I sure talk about it to everybody I know. Right.
I know there. I mean, there was a mailing that went out too, but it wasn't like back in the days when we'd send it out to.
We're kind of going in baby steps. We'll do more next year. You know, this year, last year, I don't think we even put it on Old Ron. So this year we had it out on Old Ron, and actually the couple that came up from Eagle and now they're in Centennial learned about us through the Old Ron listing.
And so did Bonnie, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. but thank you.
But that's a good idea. I mean, it's...
Yeah, we can accommodate
we will work
a bigger
that.
Group if we wind up with one.
Linda.
Excuse me. I would like to thank Brother Buckley. And Brother Tabak is not here since Brother Laddie wasn't able to serve. These two speakers just stepped right in and filled that spot, and we were talking about it at lunch today, what a huge responsibility that is. And I felt that because they were more than willing to do that, that the Lord was kind of directing it that way, and the blessings from the talks this weekend were unbelievable.
Yeah, was
too numerable to mention, but appreciated the opportunity for fellowship, and the I love the study on Have You Lost Your Mind, which I really liked that. I liked all of them, but there were definitely highlights in each and every one of them. I came to convention with such excitement to be with all of you, to get away from the world, to see your faces, to talk about the things that mean the most important to all of us. And my Uncle Charlie's here, and we were so thrilled, so thrilled that he came.
Yeah.
That was very special to us.
It is.
And there's a whole line of us here that came into the truth, and thank the Lord for that. I mean, when we think about what that all involves and how, it's just overwhelming. We were talking, and then we're talking about the study, and that has to do with the Holy Spirit and our classes in Volume 5, and, you know, it just seemed to flow with everything that's going on, and makes it so personal. Gosh, so personal. It just touches your heart. I just love you all, and I thank you for coming, and I thank you all for all your efforts in putting this together, and love you very much. And, you know, even though the number, I hear about the, was it you, Jim, that talked about the numbers back in the first, and wow, I about fell on the floor when you said that, 600 and, you know, there's not that many, but I honestly don't expect it anymore. I expect it to be less and less, but that doesn't make it any more less precious. And I can't. I look forward to next year.
There is one.
Well, I'm going to be an optimist.
if it's
right. Either way, I don't care. But thank you. Thank the Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Sister Linda. I was thinking, going back in memory, 33 years ago, Brother Charlie, Sister Marla, Sister Charlene, Brother Jean, Brother Dale, Sister Penny,
Sister my wife, myself,
Camille,
and Camille. Sister Camille.
Camille,
we're all immersed together.
Wow, that was a big group.
Wow.
April 27th.
Oh.
Brother Elliot did the immersion.
Yes, and we're all here except for Sister Penny, who's gone beyond the veil now. And we've had a wonderful fellowship with me. Oh, sorry. Who'd like to be next?
I've been looking forward to this convention for since the one last year, actually. And I have so appreciated our phone studies. But it is so much more of a blessing to be able to actually be here in person and meet with my brethren and see my brethren and talk to the ones that I haven't seen in a long time, and I had a blessing this time with meeting brethren that I had not met before, and had some very, very, very wonderful fellowship with them. The discourses were just phenomenal. Everyone was over, I said, oh, that was so good. And then the next one, oh, my, that was just so good. And each one, like Sister Glenda said, had something special that just really caught me. And I'm really anxious to get back home and try to decipher my notes. I write them so quickly that sometimes I can't make them out when I try to read them. But I can see a word or two that will bring that thought back to me. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And I kind of had a, I don't know if you want to call it a blessing, but kind of a dubious thing happened today, that with the meeting that was going on behind us here today, everybody moved up front, and Sister Charlie and I stayed here and were studying and listening and everything, and I got to talking with Sister Lynn in the bathroom about what was going on back there, and the thing that just struck me so was the total difference in the atmosphere.
Right.
Yeah. Totally love it. Man, whoever he was back there yelling and screaming and condemning the congregation and telling them that they had to be healed and Satan needed to come out of them, and they were all, and I'm sitting there with half an ear there and concentrating on this and thinking, what a blessing that we have the Lord in our hearts, and we don't have to listen and be afraid. And I don't know what he was trying to accomplish, but it just made me appreciate the truth so much just by that little distraction that we had back here. And thank God it was not enough of a distraction that I didn't get something out of the discourse, because I really did. But every time there was a little lull, I would hear him. And it was just, the difference is just unbelievable, unbelievable to me. And I am so thankful to my Heavenly Father for allowing me to see what a beautiful, beautiful thing we have in the truth.
See how something good can come out of something.
Yes,
something
exactly. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. The Lord provided that for us. That wasn't for them, that was for us.
Yeah,
Mr. Depp.
Yeah, I was very perturbed. But towards the end, I had this flash, and so it was quite a blessing. It's just, the picture was as clear as a bell when we were in Israel and stood on the top of Mount Carmel, which looks over the beautiful, fertile valley, and then the story of the prophets of Baal and the challenge that they were given. I'll tell you what, you come up, we're going to build an altar. You don't remember the story? And first, the prophets of Baal may do whatever they need to do to bring God to cause fire on this altar, right? And it was total thrashing, cutting, yelling, screaming, and then it was like, okay, now it's Elijah's turn, right? Very quietly, prayed, reasoned, and of course the whole thing was consumed, and it had water put on it first. It was totally consumed, and the contrast of the way God's message is versus the prophets of Baal. And so my mind was just going, oh, is that too cool or what? Here we are with the prophet of Elijah, and there they are, the prophets of Baal, doing their thing, and it's not going to accomplish a thing, yeah. Not a thing.
We're going to leave here with full, loving hearts, and they have to have left there.
Yeah. With fear.
With fear.
So then I felt better. It was, you know, it's that blessing.
Yeah.
What a blessing. It's humbling, but what a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like you, was a little perturbed to start with.
Right.
Okay, you know. But I have so much stuff to move, and I thought I'm just going to stay here and concentrate. And in the end, it ended up being a blessing, because the difference was just so unbelievable.
Sister Linda, that's Sister Charlene.
Well, kind of go on to Jeff. Merle and I were in the bathroom, and I was talking, and I said, did you hear the discourse? Both of them. But I said, and I was perturbed, and then you have to think in your mind, this is allowed, everything is allowed by the Lord, and you know, they're blinded and all this, and why was this allowed? And I thought, how interesting. Our Lord, when he was here on the earth, which way did he present the truth? Was he doing that?
No.
Mm-mm. Was he up yelling and screaming? And no, meek and humble. Meek and humble, spreading the word to those who want to hear. And you know, you don't have to yell. If somebody wants to hear the message of the truth, they will. I mean, look at us. We're all hovering around. And if we couldn't hear, we were moving up, you know. You don't have to yell. You can whisper. We want to hear. We want to hear still, small voice. Thank you.
Mr. Charlie?
Things are on that subject. That was my where I was raised in.
Oh,
campground meetings, Church of God, Assembly of Christ, faith healing, and the condemnation. But anyway, it brought old memories back. I want to thank the Heavenly Father for the opportunity to come, and I want to thank Sister Lena, Brother Jim, Brother Kevin, Sister Debbie, and Smiley. He's always been smiling to me from the very first time I met him. So, just very thankful. So that really didn't bother me, but at first it did, and then I thought, oh, gal, look what you came out of. And that's where I came from. And I'm so thankful I came out of that one.
Sister Kaylee?
This past Thursday's study with Sherelle, we're in Volume 2, and we're talking about the resurrection of Christ and how the 40 days after his resurrection and how many times he appeared in very unobtrusive ways. And it's the methods, you know, the different forms as the gardener or whatever that he took to make sure that the message of the gospel would be permanently set in the disciples' minds, to let them know that he had resurrected and that they would take this message and go forth. But Pastor writes in there how every time that Christ appeared in those 40 days, it was not to shock and awe them. It was, do you know what I mean? It was always in an unobtrusive, very mild manner, almost unknown manner.
Subtle.
As was his birth, as is every single instance and way with our God and how he deals with us. It's never this obtrusive, hard-hitting, knock you over with a hammer kind of stuff. And so you can look at the trend of his character is very pure, and it's very continuous. And it just is something that kind of relates with the differences between our friends over here and the truth. And so just something to think about.
Were your kids here when that was going on?
Not today, yeah.
I was
going to
think, why
that
price?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm kind of
glad they
work.
Brother
Kevin.
Yes, Brother James DeGroote, glad to share. Tell the brethren I am enjoying their chuckles because I can see they are happy. It makes me happy too.
Tell the brother Edgar sends you love.
You just did.
Brethren, it's been a, what's the scripture, I'm so bad at knowing what the scripture references are, and I'm bad at quoting scriptures too, but I get the concepts, which is good. The scripture that says, you know, prove me herewith, if I will not pour upon you a blessing. Does anybody know where that is?
Malachi. Because that's one that Brother Larry used to bring up for us. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And I will not pour upon vision. Yeah, I was trying to remember the
concept.
It's
highlighted in pink.
Bring ye all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open your window, or open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I think it's poured over for me. Pressed down and shaken together and pour it over. And I think that all the brethren have received a similar as I have. And we look forward to the next convention and pray the Lord's guidance and direction continually in your lives, in your dealings, and just use this as a touchstone, as an Ebenezer, when the times are rough, and they will be rough. We don't expect everything to be rosy all the time, but you know we have this touchstone and to look forward to further ones, and to look forward especially for the grand convention yet to come. At the wedding of our Lord and his bride. So let your light shine. The world needs it. And we'll go ahead and close with prayer. Oh, sure. Would you like to read that?
You want me to do it now?
Yeah, why don't you? That would be great.
September 21st, Songs in the Night. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. The Lord's children are to see to it that they are not deluded into sin and into the service of sin, to that extent that they would be deserting their colors and taking their stand as opponents of the Lord. When Christians take a decided stand against Satan and his wiles, they are relieved from his attacks. Not that he flees from them in the sense that he is fearful of harm to himself, but that he will leave them. He will retreat, just as a general of an army would retreat from a city after having found that its gates were strongly protected and that attack was useless. If the adversary finds one well protected and resisting him with a firm will, he will at once retreat. But if there be any parley with sin, any tendency to consider a matter when it seems to be sin, an entrance is at once made for the adversary, and he will renew the attack and press the matter, placing it in the most alluring light, in order that he may take control, that he may enter the heart where he has found the weakness. Hence, it is of utmost importance that the child of God should make a positive and prompt decision when he realizes that he is being enticed to evil. A moment's hesitation is very dangerous. Those who take their stand for the Lord, who give themselves fully and unreservedly to him, he has agreed to protect. He may permit them to be assailed for a time, but he will deliver them so long as they remain loyal and true, and they will be made stronger as a result of the temptations. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:11.
Thank you, Sister Linda. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this time to come apart from the world and for learning more of thy wonderful plans and purposes and the depths and widths and heights of thy love and bringing us closer to thee and to one another. We pray that we'll take these experiences and these lessons and this knowledge into our lives and into the battlefield ahead of us and use them for sanctifying ourselves, that we will be found worthy and that we will make our callings and elections sure. We pray forgiveness for anything that we may have said or done amiss during this time, and pray a blessing according to thy will on our returns home and to our home ecclesias and to our families. And we're mindful of the troubles that all the dear brethren the world over are going through, and especially mindful of our dear brother Laddie and Debbie Stewart, and we have missed them so much from being here. Pray that they bring joy and the lessons needed for them. We know that you have them in your watch care, and all the dear ones that are going through such difficult times. And the groaning creation that is waiting and travailing, and we ourselves for the adoption of the body. We are so mindful of the blessed gift of thy dear Son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the wonderful example of the way that he has led us, and help us to continue in his footsteps and to walk after him and to be faithful in our sacrifice, our covenant of sacrifice that we have made, and not to shrink back from it. All this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, sure.